This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
In the name of Jesus, thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. I see that you are stronger today. That is encouraging. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let a man so account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, are you there? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So the issue of financial management in the kingdom falls under the broad subject of stewardship. And the Bible says that this is a testimony that we should have as Christians, that men should account of us as ministers of the gospel, yes, and also as stewards of the mysteries of God. It means that there is a mystery that God is committing to you to steward. Yes, you are a minister of the gospel, preacher of the dead, the burial of and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his attendant legal implications. The Bible also says that your description is that you are in the category of a steward. There are mysteries in the kingdom of God. Things that you cannot explain. There is no sequence in intellect that can be the basis of your explanation of those things, because they can only be understood by faith. And when God builds a man, he begins to launch him in the spirit, and this man begins to apprehend such mysteries that can be understood only by faith, and God establishes him to be a steward of such mysteries. Now, verse 2 is a quiet reminder. A quiet reminder of the estate of stewards. For the Bible says that it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So if we are talking about stewardship, then the measure of your stewardship is consistent with your compliance with faithfulness. All right? So if you're going to have more anointing, it means that the previous allocation of anointing that you received, you stewarded it adequately in keeping with the desires and the policies of God. That is the only reason why you will have more anointing. If by any means, you know, anointing is attractive. Anointing makes you beautiful. Anointing makes you desired. Anointing gives you the capacity to so order yourself in such a it puts you on what we call the stature, in the cubicle of the stature of leadership. Because what leadership is the ability to influence people. So when God wants to make you have the ability to influence people, what he does is that he puts an anointing upon you. Whereas in the world, you may need to contest for an election and win at the polls in order for you to be ushered into leadership. Even though the influence you bring up upon the people is more demonic than divine. In the kingdom of God, if God wants to make you influential, what he does is that he makes you a steward of one of his kingdom mysteries. Even those of us that have walked in the anointing for many years, we cannot really describe what the anointing is. We can explain his symptoms. We know when it comes with capacity and ability, we can operate according to his promptings, but you see, it is a mystery. Are you there? We can fast for dry fasting for 3 days, and you come out and there's no fresh anointing. Then you minister for 2 days and you are frustrated, and then when you eat pounded yam, then the anointing now comes up. It is a mystery. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But the Bible says that we are stewards of such mysteries of God, and in stewardship, it is required that a man be found faithful. All right, let me give us a little insight before I leave this subject. Let me give you a little insight on the subject of stewardship, and it happens to be, I think we'll just zero in on the stewardship of your finances. Meanwhile, anytime you read your Bible and you stumble upon the judgment seat of Christ, the object of the judgment seat of Christ is accountability as touching your stewardship. Are you there? The dead in Christ shall rise first, the Bible says, and when they rise, their fate will be determined at the white throne judgment. They that remain, the dead in Christ will rise first, and when we that are in Christ that are dead will rise first, and our fate in terms of whether we receive a reward or a rebuke will be determined at the white throne judgment. And the white throne judgment, just as I'm saying now, is a judgment that has to do with reckoning on the basis of your stewardship. And then there that remain, those are the guys that died and did not die in Christ. They did not die with their faith in Christ. You mean all men will be judged, all right? So the dead in Christ will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. We will look at that very soon. There are five possibilities that can result from the judgment seat of Christ. But basically, it is somewhat of an accountability platform. Then the white throne judgment is for those that died without their faith in Christ. All right? That day they will not recognize them as members of this religion or that religion. The distinguishing factor is whether you died with your faith in Christ or not. Can we advance in our lecture today? Turn your Bible with me to the book of Matthew chapter 25, because we are taking our bearing. Hallelujah. Are you with me? But taking our bearing from what we read in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2, that among stewards it is required that a man be found faithful. This is not my subject for the night. This is just a refresher. Just to bring you home, you know. I was away for a few days. This to compensate you for my absence. This is not a lecture. The lecture is fresh, it's still there, but we need to go through this. This is an additional service that is coming. All right, are you there in the book of Matthew chapter 4, 25, beginning from verse 14? Matthew 25, 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another one, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. All right? Then he that received, that had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We'll come to, there are some terminologies that are used in the environment of stewardship that I would like us to be acquainted with. What was his Lord's response? He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So there's an aspect of that servant that was described as good. There is an aspect of that servant that was described as faithful. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter in thou into the joy of thy Lord. Yes. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou had not sown, and gathering where thou had not strawed. Oh my. We will need a whole evening to analyze the feedback that is coming from this guy. Hallelujah. Next verse there. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. What was the master's response? And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked. Now, you see, his Lord did not deny any of the allegations. But you know, I told you, we will need a whole evening to analyze, and that evening is not today, because this is not the subject. It's just a means of compensating you for being absent for 3 days, okay? The lecture tonight is to show you the windows. When prosperity wants to rest on a man, it flows through some identifiable windows, so we want to label them, so that if you find any of those symptoms on your life, the grace that makes a man prosper is what is at work on your life. And there are several things that you need to be aware of when you notice those symptoms around your life. Hallelujah. Then after today's lecture, the next lecture now is warfare in the realm of your finances. Then we start from the first point. There are a few points. We'll just take a few points. There are many points, but we'll take a few points. But by the time we start going there, a lot of people will feel that I had them in mind before I started preaching. So it's a very emotional topic to handle. Hallelujah. Okay, where are we? His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked. Now, this guy was not one of the witches. He did not join himself to witches flying in the night looking for blood. But Jesus called him wicked. And like I said, my job tonight doesn't have anything to do with these two verses. I'm just reading it. I'll explain as much as I intend to explain. And I will leave the other verses for another time. And the another time I'm talking about is not too long from now. Thou wicked and slothful. Now, do you remember the twine observation previously? Thou good and faithful. In this case, is thou wicked and slothful. So I'm going to explain those things. Seventh. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, this is counsel, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received my own with, sorry, that's an ancient word, for profit. For what? Now, so, here's the idea of stewardship. There is a word here. Okay, because I'm not willing to tackle those two verses, I will not go into that. Now here's the idea of stewardship. He must get profit from every mystery of the kingdom that he gives you to steward. It must translate to profit for his kingdom. Now, you see, the concept of profit in this arena is not your mundane perspective of profit. Are you there? Now, if we spend 25 million, which was what we spent for Festival of Glory, and people give their life to Christ, that's profit. It means that God gave us financial resources. We transacted with these financial resources, and we have evidence of souls that have been brought into the kingdom of God as profit to our master. How many of you in this auditorium right now, the reason why you are here is because you attended one of our Festival of Glory crusades and something happened in your life and you remain. Now, see those guys you are seeing are evidence of profit. So Jesus's perspective is any one of us that is in custody of kingdom things must understand how to steward it, because the master will not accept any excuse for lack of profit. If there is a situation of lack of profit, it is indicative of the fact that we have a prodigal son or daughter in view who has mastered the art of squandering strategic kingdom resources and has no evidence of profit to show. The consequence of that level of wastage, I don't want to describe it today, because today is not the time. Those two verses, I will work on them more diligently, and you will see the consequences of inability to produce profit when dealing with kingdom matters. It is better for you not to have received those kingdom matters, those kingdom mysteries, without an intention to translate it to profit. The master will not understand with you. Now, I haven't understood that, because not every one of us should be praying for prosperity. Because prosperity is one of the items that falls under stewardship. God is going to set up a judgment table to judge you because you had access to ability, which was occasioned by the fact that kingdom resources entered into your hands. One of the items on the judgment seat of Christ for which we will come to answer, to respond, is about every dollar, every pound, every euro, every naira that passed through your hand. That was ability. That was a utensil that ought to have been stewarded. The master will never accept a situation where he has no profit. The Bible says that in stewardship, it is required that a man be found faithful. Now, if you are not aware of the requirement of stewardship, you are likely to rejoice just because you got an alert of a million naira. And unknown to you, it was an item to be stewarded. Now, are you still there? You seem not to be there. I'm not feeling that you are there. Are you there? Okay. Glory to God. I'm coming. I would like to turn our attention to the comment of the master in the environment of accountability. He did something. Can you read Matthew 25, 28 and 29? Matthew 25, 28. 29. Take therefore the talent from him. That's the one talent that was given to the guy with one talent. He said, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which had 10 talents. Why? And this is the environment of stewardship. The environment here is stewardship. This can only be understood in the context of accountability that is the natural result of stewardship. He said, for everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have in abundance. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. Don't forget this verse of scripture, because the context here is stewardship. God forbid, but imagine that Pastor Tony has a call. I will say a parable. I don't know if God will allow me to speak in parables today. And then the first kingdom resource that God makes available to Pastor Tony is in form of manpower. 7 sisters and 3 brothers. Are you there? No, let me not use Pastor Tony. One pastor. Let me use one pastor. A pastor has a genuine calling, and God brings him into the city of Makurdi. When he shows up and begins to fast and to pray, as we normally do. Initially, when the call comes, we still remember how to fast. So heaven now said, well, he's been calling on us. Let us give him some resources. So human capital is deployed. 7 sisters, 3 brothers. One of the brothers knows how to play the keyboard. 3 of the sisters can sing. So before he comes to the pulpit, the sister that can sing brings down the glory. Hallelujah. And he ministers the word of God. And the presence of God is there. Then because of the gift of the sister, he's attracted to her. So God has not abandoned me in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And the thing about ministry is this, God puts honor upon your life. So if you approach any of the sisters that you are pastoring and you bring some ideas, they are likely to follow you because of that honor. The honor itself was placed on you for stewardship. But the honor and the human capital that was deployed was not managed adequately. The honor became a currency that was translated into immorality. Are you with me? Meanwhile, while the guy was fasting that time, he was praying that God should open Makodi up and give him the ears of Makodi. Meanwhile, he had not yet dealt with issues that will affect his stewardship. First of all, when you begin ministry, God will give you human capital. The first thing you will need to do to remain in ministry is that you must understand that God loves his people. Because of his love for his people, he died for his people. So your call to ministry is a call to sacrifice so that what God is offering his people will get to them. You are a conduit. Every sacrifice you make is a proof of how much value you place on that which God loves. And if you are to follow my story, for 9 years. The reason why I stayed in Wadata, which is one of the lowest neighborhoods in terms of cost, that's the abode of armed robbers and magicians, witches, and enchanters. If you have ever stayed in Wadata, you'll bear me witness. It's not as if I didn't have money to rent a house in the best place in the government residential area. But I needed to spend less on myself so that we could steward the rest of the resources available to push the kingdom of God forward. If you see me, there was none of my colleagues, because I worked at the depot, there was none of my colleagues that was my neighbor. Because my colleagues were in highbrow areas and I was in the ghetto. The amount I needed to pay my house rent, are you following? If I notice you are frowning, I will stop. The amount I needed to pay my house rent, or I could pay my house rent every month from my salary, because my house rent was 200,000 and I earned 330,000 that time. I'm talking about 2006. I could afford a better place. I needed the cheapest 3-bedroom flat in Makodi. Some of you that knew me in those days know that house. A den of armed robbers without. The reason why we never had a situation of armed robbery was because we always prayed in the night. If you are coming with your gun, we are already awake and we are praying. And the way we pray in tongues is as if we are going for war. So you can't interpret the outcome of attempting that compound. I never lived alone. There was a community that was in my compound. So that was enough security. When you hear our voice in prayer, even if you were possessed, you will look for another route. So we had excess money for my salary to push. My salary was ministry money. My wife would not even dare come and say she saw one beautiful dress in the market. She knows she can't even sit down. All the ones she brought from her father's house, there were many. So I knew that it wasn't time to talk about garments. The reason why I call her golden woman, she never troubled me, never fought my calling. And I was not under pressure to explain anything to her till today. No problem. My children got a room that they could call their room last year, August. That's when my children had a room. If not, they had no room. Anywhere the night missed them in the parlor, anywhere they slept like that and grew up like that. But when I come to preach on the pulpit, people don't know that my children don't have a room. One day they came to complain. I told them, I said, unfortunately for us, the Lord called us to be priests. And all of us will feel the impact of the priesthood. We are implicated. So I make them recite some things that we are priests. Repeat after me. So they know that we are priests now. Are you there? What I was doing was stewardship, and God will be watching the steward. And okay, they gave you this little, and you are stewarding it with responsibility. And the thing about stewardship is that Jehovah will not be whispering into your ears every evening saying thank you. You need to be self-motivating. You need to be focused. And even demons will come and attack you, and evil people will break your heart. And Jehovah will not be there to say, thank you, my servant. He will not sing to you. I told you before, if you want everybody on the street to like you, then do what? Sell ice cream. You will see the way people will backbite and speak about you, insult you behind you. And you will hear. The idea is so that your heart can be broken and so that Satan can find occasion to begin to exercise mind bending. If you are not a man that has found security in Christ, you will become wicked as a steward. You know, there was a word wicked that came there. I will tell you how it comes. Then when God sees that you manage his daughters were beautiful daughters. You manage them well. Okay. Then he will begin to consider to send an allocation of anointing on your life. What the anointing does is that it hastens the rate of reaction. It's like a catalyst. The moment the anointing begins to compound on your life, you begin to see physical results. Those results were coming, but the anointing will hasten it. So many more people will begin to gather. Support will begin to come. And then God will watch you under that first consignment of anointing. Because some people, when that first consignment comes, they become mad. You can no longer talk to them. Because you are anointed, they are anointed. That was how somebody went to a minister of the gospel where, during a pastor's syndicate meeting. This was a story I was told. Right? I heard that a pastor pointed my father in the Lord and told him, I am anointed, you are anointed. In a pastor's meeting. And God judged that pastor instantly. You know why? Those are stewards that have given all to stand for Jesus. I've forgotten the number of attempts that have been made on his life. And he's still in that city. He told me of a certain senior minister in Nigeria that asked him, what are you still doing there? And he said, if by any means I doubt that this is where I'm supposed to be, I would have left long time ago. We're talking about ministers that are still the territorial lamps of the cities in which they dwell. So for you to point them, Baba will do something to you. It is stewardship that is speaking. And while I was doing this stewardship, there were people in my office that were manipulating against me, and they refused to promote me for how many years? So I became fed up. I went to what we call, those days we call it the zoo. I don't know if there's any animals still alive there. I went there for 48 hours to ask God, with the Bible, to ask him to show me evidence what I have done wrong that he has allowed me to be stagnated in my official career. I went there with the Bible. 1 week after that, my appeal, and I made that appeal in the month of June, and promotions are in January. 1 week after my appeal, I was given double promotion. In June. That means the backlog of my promotions were restored. It's a long story on how it happened, and they paid me the arrears of monies that was entitled to me. That was how I built my house in this city. The government was saving money for me. That's how I built. Are you following me? Stewardship continued. The moment I was given that promotion and restoration, I was posted out of this town. To Lagos. I now told God, I said, didn't we have a deal? You say you are sending me to Makurdi for a revival. And the revival, the revival had come. And then the moment it came, you posted me out. Don't you have enough power to keep me in Makurdi? Was that not the plan? I was angry. My anger was there for 6 months. After 6 months, I now say, it's foolishness to even be angry with God. So, he will not even answer you, and he's still God. You can't do anything about it. So just go and apologize to him. I came back. God took me from the midst of a revival, threw me into Lagos, and made me an intercessor. He took me from the pulpit. Say, leave the pulpit. We put someone there and made me an intercessor for another 7 years. The church I attended, when I'm coming to church, the ushers say, after the 7 years, when I obeyed the 7 years, my name became loud in Lagos. That was when the pastors in that ministry that I was a member realized that I was in their church for 7 years and they didn't know. You know why? If it is true that you are a steward, it is only the assignment that God assigns to you that is your business. I was a pulpit minister, very popular in my own circle, and I was a blessing to many of you that know me that time. Then God took me from the pulpit and made me an intercessor. I was determined not to be behind any pulpit for as long as I was an intercessor. My prayers were not loud, so if you are my neighbor, you never hear my tongues. But how my neighbors knew I was a pastor is still a mystery. The only time they heard my voice was when I was coming out of the house to go to work. I would do like this. In the morning. And when I come back from work, because what God was looking at in that time of my confinement was my commitment to my personal altar and my commitment to personal holiness. I was on, did you visit me that time? If don't. Okay. You know my house then? When I'm going up to my house, because I was on floor four, a lady will come out. When she noticed that I'm coming up, she will remove her bra and come and stand. Hallelujah. Those were the days when if I move like this, my head does not move. Yeah. I can't tell you. Urako Simo. For 7 years. It was after I passed the test of isolation that God was ready to make my voice heard. It is required among stewards that a man be found. When God released me from my quarantine, I went to preach somewhere. I was the only non-bishop on that handbill. He gave me permission to go there. I was the youngest, the smallest. And because I was the smallest, they scheduled me to preach first. And after I preached for 2 days, people stopped coming for the conference. The bishops were there with cap, but there was no member left. Because after those 2 days, the people asked themselves, what again is left? What is remaining? I came out of that cave as a burning fire. And the Lord was at liberty to shoot. It was from there that I entered into Brazil for the first time. It was in Brazil that I saw the allocation of nations that heaven was doing. And they wrote my name on the UK, they wrote my name on South Africa, and wrote my name on Ghana. It was in Brazil. When I came back from Brazil, it was difficult for me to go to work because my heart was full of missions. But I knew Jesus well. That even though you feel like not going to work, if you have not heard Jesus say, stop work, it is not him you obeyed, it will resign before you heard. You know the story of how I resigned. The moment after that resignation, all the gates of nations have opened. It is required among stewards that a man be found. Let me move you on. There are four terminologies I would like you to master on the subject of stewardship before we move to the subject of the night. First is in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 15. You say you want to be a voice to the nations. It's not just good enough for you to be a good preacher. There are good preachers everywhere. But the law of stewardship is to him that hath more shall be given. And to him that hath not, even that which he has shall be taken away. That's the law. Anyone that is an enterprising steward, unto him more shall be given. We went to Ghana as prescribed by the Lord. We went to South Africa. We planted a branch in Ghana, planted a branch in South Africa, planted branches in the United Kingdom as the Lord prescribed. And then when we came back and said, Lord, we give you glory, he said, calm down. Now, we were coming to thank him for allowing our voice to be relevant among different nations. The traditional British people, they got interested in the gospel that the Lord has put on our lips. It was humbling. And the gospel was confirmed with signs and wonders. So we came back home thanking God. You know, what? Then the Lord said, calm down. And he now added more nations. Because to him that had, what? More shall be. So when I told you about a lady in London that ran into the lift and was touching me here, that one happened in a moment. There was a lady that was standing on the staircase to my room in Lagos for 7 years. So that thing that lady was doing in the moment, I'm not even aware of it. You understand that? You'll be in stewardship, you'll be tested because there is accountability in stewardship. That's why before you start, they are telling you it is required amongst you. Don't receive the thing. If you receive it, then it is required of you that you be found. What? Okay. I said there are four terminologies I would like to define. You say, unto one gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Then there is a statement here, to every man according to his several ability. What's the meaning of that? What is the meaning of several ability? Someone help me from the congregation. What does it mean? That there was a wisdom behind the allocation of the quantity of talents in each case. It was consistent with their several ability. What's that? I'm hearing a sister. According to their manpower, that's not accurate. According to their capacity. So, Jehovah knows your capacity. He knows what you can handle. And the grace that he gives you is consistent with your capacity. You know, when you study the Bible saying, speaking about us, says, he knows our frame. Now, that's engineering. Because when we were building this place, the structures engineer came up with a chart that includes all the reinforcement on the pillars and the reinforcement at the corners. It is on the framework of that reinforcement that the weight that is in this building is resting. And only the engineer that designs the structure knows the framework, knows the calculations that justifies his reinforcement principle. The Bible says that God knows your frame. He knows your tensile strain level. He knows your tensile stress level. He knows what you can bear. He knows what you can carry. And in view of the calculations around your capacity in terms of the load that you can carry, God now gives you talent that is commensurate to that ability. He will not give you what you don't have the ability to steward. So that your inability to steward it is a proof that you are wicked. Are you there now? So, this money we've been praying about, we are not aware that it's one of the articles that is within the broad heading. Still watching. The last set of money that came into your hand, how did it go? If you steward it properly, another one will come. If you don't squander it on your lust, another one will come. If you use it the way God intends, another one will come. Because to him that has, more shall be given. So the talents that God makes available to you is consistent with your several ability. The designer of your life is the one that prescribes the measure you carry because it is consistent with your innate wiring, innate capacity, innate ability. That's the first terminology that I'd like you to understand. That terminology excludes you from from being able to explain away slothfulness. Because every symptom of slothfulness that manifests in the face of the fact that you had you had abilities in those areas, that slothfulness is equal to wickedness. Because your inability to transact, your inability to be faithful in the administration of the resources, and cut off several people that were captured in the economy of benefit away from God's help. That's the first thing. Several ability. When I went to the botanical garden for 48 hours with the Bible to contend with God and to appeal to the court of heaven, I was going there with my stewardship as the basis of my argument in the court. And I went there with the Bible. I said, God, if you can show me evidence that I've not served you according to the terms and conditions of service that you revealed to me, if you can show it, I will live here without complaining. I spoke in tongues for 2 days. The week that opened after my prayer, Monday after my prayer, the power of the prayer began to unfold. Our chief executive came to visit our station here. I've told that story many times. I don't want to tell it again. But his visitation led to his understanding of the fact that this guy must be upgraded. He went, and meanwhile, that was the most wicked chief executive we had. The strangest of all came to my station. After asking me a few questions, I answered. I didn't know those were questions troubling them. He went back to the headquarters, requested for my file, saw that I've been marginalized, almost tore the office down. The only way peace was found was that I was upgraded instantly in the month of June. The only unfortunate thing about my upgrade was that they now insisted that if I'm operating at that level, that rank, I should not be here. I should be in Lagos. That was the only problem in the whole arrangement. And if they had asked me, I would have said, okay, let them give me just one promotion. One, restore one. Let me remain. But I was not in control of what happened. It is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Jesus appeared to me. I've told you this story before. My brother-in-law, they were in power. They were in power in Abuja. And so he used to see me as I pray my devotional life. And he loved me. Hey, I like this man. So it was on the on my birthday, 2nd of December. Then he came in with a visa. He came in with tickets. And said, all right, we'll talk to your office so that you can go on vacation. You are lean. You need to eat and come back. I say, I have no questions. No questions about that. So they were in power. They're very powerful people. So they put me on China Southern Airways from Lagos. And that's how I was taken to the Middle East. Then a place called Dera, Sabka, a hotel called Rehab. And it's only the room number. I've been trying to retrieve it. It's not coming. Meanwhile, I don't forget like that. It was in that place that Jesus walked through the wall and came to me the first time in that revelation. It was not a vision. I saw Jesus. Right? Jesus walked in. And he left a fragrance of grace in that place that tormented me for an additional 3 days. If I come there, you are crying. You are slain. And Jesus spoke to me and said, so this is the evidence of my apostolic ministry. All right? If it is true that you are an apostle, Jesus must have come to give you a commission to send you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Apostle Paul was giving us the credentials of his apostolic ministry. He said, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? The third thing he says is, Have I not seen Jesus Christ, our Lord? You are not an apostle if Jesus had never come to you to send you. So my first assignment that Jesus gave me was to the youth of Nigeria. And you know the story. I don't want to trouble you with that story again. He said, I should go and deliver the youth of Nigeria from destruction. And if I am faithful, he will open the gates of nations to me. When I came back from that trip, I started hopping from campus to campus. I went around Nigeria 6 times. And I did that for 12 years. I thought it was 10. I went to calculate it. 12 years I was airborne. Almost every weekend. To Sokoto, to the heart of Sokoto, I went there to bear witness. That was the place when I was preaching, somebody insulted me, and Jesus reacted, and the person became dumb. The Muslims that were trying to end our meeting by claiming that they wanted to come and read there, so they were coming in. When they saw one person dumb, they spoke to themselves. The decorum became their portion. The prayer point changed. And they began to plead with me to ask God to open the person's lips, tongue. And I labored in prayers for 15 minutes and touched the tongue. And the angel removed what was used to bind the tongue and the person began to speak. That was a great... What that thing created in the heart of Sokoto. I went around Nigeria 6 times. And on the 29th of September 2019, I was in Uyo to preach. And they ushered me into my hotel room. And when I shut the door, Jesus came again. And that was his first announcement of the fact that I needed to resign because the time has come for me to go to the nations. That means, according to Jesus' evaluation, I was faithful in that mission that he gave me. Meanwhile, that was what I was doing, and people say I was a Jew. Some people insulted me by calling me campus apostle, but they didn't know who sent me. It was Jesus. If you are ashamed because of the assignment he has given you, you are not fit for the kingdom. The authority I carry today is because I was faithful once upon a time when I went to be a witness on campus. We saw all kinds of miracles on campus. Signs, wonders. People's legs grew out. One shorter than the other one. People's legs grew out on campus. There was no video there. There was no cell phone to record it. People's legs grew out. I know a lady, I was telling my wife, and that lady, when I used to know her, her right hand was paralyzed. So she began to learn how to write with the left. It was a handshake I gave her on the right hand. That the hand was restored to you today. We just saw her a few days ago. Handshake. Meanwhile, I used to shake her before, but she now said, are you aware that this hand is paralyzed? What? Paralyzed? Hey! Yes, the hand is restored till this moment, this day. So she has stopped writing with her left hand. She writes with the right. But there's no video to show that we were of the wilderness. So when you see me in London speaking Queen's English and ministering to people, it started years ago. May the Lord give you understanding. It is required among stewards that a man be found. Second terminology. Verse 19 of Matthew 25. Verse 19 of Matthew 25. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. The second word is reckoneth. Comes to check their books. And the thing about this arrangement is that You will be operating without supervision. There will be no form of supervision on your life to ensure that you keep up with or you comply with regulations. Nobody will supervise you. You will be allowed the liberty to think that you are in charge. So many people can become fake in the process. A fake pastor, fake preacher. Your objective changes. It's no longer to bring profit to the kingdom of God, but to bring profit to yourself. Nobody will restrain you. You will do it to the full, but when Jesus comes, he will establish a system of reckoning. It is required amongst the boss that a man be found. So the fact that you are not supervised doesn't mean you are not supervised. The fact that no one is looking into your books to see if your transactions are in keeping with integrity doesn't mean you will not supervised. So if you have been brought into stewardship, you cannot but remember that the principle that governs it is faithfulness. So let us narrow this down to finances. The finances that are available to you are according to your several ability, because only God knows what you can carry. So what you have in your hand currently is a picture of what you can manage. And it's also a picture of what heaven is looking at to determine whether you qualify for a higher level of allocation. Before I got employment, the angel that came to see me read a scroll to me. So when the angel came, on the 13th of January 2003. I will never forget it. All my encounters are documented. That's the first angelic visitation I had in my life. From that day to this day, the simplest thing for me to know is to discern when an angel has come. Because I will never forget the first encounter I had, the fragrance, the perfume that I smelled when that angel visited me. So if I begin to perceive that fragrance, I know they are there. And if the fragrances are different, I know there are more than one. Well, that's for another day. 13th of January, 2003, this angel came and read the scroll. He said, these are the words of God. I have given you a job. No, go back to Kano. Continue your work of discipleship. When you are done, I will give you a job, and you will invest in many destinies, and a great network shall be formed. 13th of January 2003. I asked the angel, what do you mean by network? Because I now realized that the angel couldn't answer me, because the angel only had authority to discuss what he was commanded to discuss with me. And the moment he finished the discussion, without answering, he didn't even pretend. He pretended as if he didn't hear my question. He vanished into thin air. I will never forget that sight forever. My body trembled, but I never forgot that message. Went back to Kano and I continued the discipleship of the brethren. And in the fullness of time, again, the angel appeared to me in the dream and said, tender your resignation. It's time for you to go to Abuja. So I wrote out my resignation. I tendered it. And when I got to Abuja, I was in prayers. On the 15th day of my prayers, my employment letter came up. I can tell you my life story, like from prophecy to reality, for many years till this day. My own existence has never been by accident. I've seen the futures, the destinies that I've walked in. So I know what David meant when he says the lines have fallen onto me in prison. He said, I will give you a job and you will invest in many destinies. That's where I got that ministry of help from. So I realized from that day that the funds that come into my life were not just meant to enrich my person. He said, I will invest in many destinies and a great network will be formed. There are some of our pastors that are no longer here. I would have called one of them, the one I sent to the bank, to pay money to people's accounts. That was his job. Because it was stewardship. And there was a witness that can testify about my commitment to that instruction, to that policy that God gave. And that level of obedience resulted in higher levels of responsibility. When you see more money in your hand, don't call it blessing. As I will show you in a moment, it is not blessing, it is responsibility. Third terminology is in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. Matthew 25, verse 21. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler. Huh? You've been faithful over few things. Now you will rule over what? Many things. Can you help me preach to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, promotion in the kingdom is more responsibility. The moment God promotes you, you might be excited because you are discerning the promotion from the standpoint of your carnality. You do not know that it is more responsibility. That's what it is. It's not so that you can squander it on your loss. I have no time to rest anymore. And we are just starting. No time to rest. No time to rest. Every other day, people keep coming. Pastors keep coming. That we saw you in visions. God has said we should come and submit to you. Anyone I confirm that is from the Lord, the covenant is established. Not because of anything that any of them can do for me. In fact, if I even receive money out of your hand, it means you are a good, it's a big thing. Not because of anything they can do for me, but because I'm sure that Jesus sent them, that they should be covered, they should be instructed, they should be discipled, and that is the basis of my covenant with them. It is still stewardship. So you need, there are many issues on ground that come every day that you need to go and ask God, God, how will this guy solve that problem in that city? How will he knock off these demons? How will he, every day, and I'm still young in ministry. At least I'm not up to 40 years in ministry yet. But I can no longer operate by my intellect, by my human wisdom. I've gone beyond that point where my human capacity can make any mark. And you call this blessing? What I'm going through now? Can't sleep in the night? Your back is aching. Sometimes you wake up, it's as if you have no head. You call this blessing? And the more I cry, the Lord say, you're just starting. You're just starting this journey. We want to put more burden on your shoulder. And you want me to start dancing now? No. It is more responsibility. Okay. How many of you still remember when we were in the tent? Were you there at the tent? Okay. What we spent in a month for running the ministry was 200,000. Huh? What we spend here in a month is 5.8 million. Do you like this one? No, I'm just asking. I'm just asking. I'm asking you. Who told you that this is better? Sometimes it's better for you to do small things. Sometimes. You live longer. Who told you this is better? So those days, the only official staff we had were, how many staff? Two staff. We had only two staff in the organization. Pastor Dan, how many staff do we have now? Please check. We had two staff could do everything. We have 38 staff now. Who told you that's better? Two staff. Now we have what? And the way we are seeing it, it will not reduce. It can only increase. Because there are areas that are still not manned. Are you there? Now, see, the thing is, never you be in a hurry to celebrate anything you consider a promotion. Don't celebrate it. If it is kingdom, then it is an added responsibility. Oh, when God spoke to me and said, come, resign your job because I want to take you to the nations. You can't do the work as a missionary with your job. I was excited. Until we traveled around one of those years. And I came back, 16 international flights. I came back home. I was walking on the ground. I didn't know if my... After Jesus Christ, Son of God. So I said, all right. Shala, come and go to Uganda. Dana, go to... They reduced my work for me, but the work was not reduced. Because other fields had opened. They called that promotion. How many of you have gone to Kaduna by road? Do you think you can do that 17 times? That's road. Promotion in the kingdom is more responsibility. Because the principle is that to him that has, more shall be given. And to him that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away. So when God sees that you are faithful, he can shut down a ministry and take the burden of that ministry and put on you. That's how he does. God is not interested in the numbers. He's interested in the faithfuls. The faithfuls will do the work, not the numbers. God is already showing us how difficult this year is going to be like in terms of missions. And that's the reason why the only thing I can release my life to do is discipleship, so that the gap of missionary manpower can be filled and my spirit can be transferred quickly to everyone that is under the sound of my voice, because the harvest indeed is plenteous. And the stewards of you. If you have seen the Lord release more resources into my hands, it's because previously the resources that were released were used judiciously to accomplish what he had in mind, so he can trust me with more. So in the kingdom, what you call promotion is more responsibility. Never you forget that. Don't be in a hurry to be excited. Don't be in a hurry. Don't be in a hurry. All right, so I have 39 minutes now to go to the real subject of the night. Yes. I will not tell you number four. Go and study. It's in that. It's in that place. Matthew chapter 25. Go and check it. You see it. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. All right, I'll just show you some windows. The next lecture we will have, which will be after the contact, I will now begin to show you the warfare on the finances, how it looks like. Now that you understand the gospel of prosperity, I will show you how Satan attacks the finances of people. And how you war against Satan's attacks. It is very deep. It is very deep. It's not what you think. It's very deep. If you have not stewarded kingdom resources to a certain level, you will not even know what I'm talking about. So after the contact, we will continue with the real matter. Okay. Now, these are the tributaries through which divine prosperity flows. First tributary, Psalms 23, verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The first window of the manifestation of divine prosperity, of supply, that is material and financial, is captured under the heading divine direction. Divine direction. And that is what we call wisdom, because the profit that is in wisdom is in the fact that it has capacity to give direction. You must have seen the scripture that says wisdom is profitable to direct. The profit we derive from wisdom is in its nature to give what? Most of us in this place are graduates, different fields. So we are a literate company, a literate fellowship. And we have experts online. We have all kinds of experts here, professionals. But what makes a man prosper is not that you are an expert. Meanwhile, it is good to be an expert. It's good to be the best in your field. It's good to know your onions. Being a novice is not something to be proud of. In any field you find yourself, you must labor to shine bright. Hallelujah. However, if God wants to begin to make you profit, one of the things he makes available in your life is direction. Direction, divine direction. And that's why you will understand that the currency of prosperity is tied to intimacy that you have built with God over the years. Over the years. There is so much that we can benefit from the Holy Spirit if you have taken your time to build intimacy with Him. So much that you can benefit. So much that you can benefit. I was here the other time when our pastor in Warri came. I'm here with a microphone. Let's interview him quickly. Pastor Siri, come up here. Take a microphone. All right, so this is our pastor from Warri. Powerful. A powerful man of God. The last time I heard you teach, you were talking about a time where you began to labor to understand God's mind in terms of divine direction as touching where He intends you to bless you from. Can you tell us a little about that? And you said you were on a ship. And you refuse to partake. Now, we walk on ships, okay? When you come there, you will see all kinds of food. Turkey. Fried rice. Rice. You even see soft drinks that we have never seen in Nigeria. It's flowing in that place. For you to come there and fast, it means you know Jesus. And you heard what he said, that is he a custom man or a military man?
A Navy officer
was posted to the dockyard. And so he showed up and saw food. By the time he was disembarking, his button for his uniform could no longer fit. That is where we used to walk. So he will give you a quick story. And then we'll talk about divine direction. Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, thank you, Papa. Actually, my background is industrial mathematics. So I graduated BSc industrial mathematics. But I had not had a job for about 3 years. I was hopping from job to job, worked in a fast food, worked as a marketing officer, where I really trekked and my shoes were messed up.
Pastor, leave us with your shoes. We are not interested. We are not interested with the alignment of your shoes right now.
So eventually, somehow...
You will see him fine like this. You don't know that he has been trekking until the alignment of the shoe. You know, the church of this day, we like showcasing finished products. We don't like telling people the process. Me, I will never show you any finished product. I will show you the process forever. I will even labor not to dress in a way that you will think, No, we are the same. We are all in the process. When you become at home with the process, it means you are ready for destiny. Yes, Pastor.
So eventually, God opened a door. I got a job as a safety assistant. Without doing anything safety, I had no degree in safety, no certification. So immediately I arrived offshore in Escravos. I understood that God giving me that job without a certification was a sign to call me to prayer. So immediately I landed, I was assigned to the training department as training assistant, giving people inductions, teaching people safety courses. So immediately I landed, I entered into a fast. So while people were going to eat, I would lie down in the office all night, evenings, begging God to show me what to do.
Meanwhile, if you go to the depot, the first thing, this depot. When you arrive at the gate, you see a big signboard there. Safety begins here. All business is built around safety consciousness. You need 15 billion naira to build a depot facility that has 5 tanks and has the capacity to hold 30,000 metric tons. And with all of that, if someone comes into the installation with a cigarette, he can raise it down. So you will need a consciousness of safety beyond the one you have now to survive in that workspace. So safety is a big deal in the oil industry. And he was employed as a safety expert without certification and experience. So how did you survive?
So it was during that prayer, one of the nights, the Lord came to me and said I should do the topmost certification at that time. It's called NEBOSH, National Examination Board for Occupational Safety and Health. It's a UK certification. At the time I was employed, my salary was about 77,000. That certification, including feeding and all of that, was 450,000. So I didn't know how I was going to do it. I called my brother-in-law, said, okay, I needed money. So he said he will advance me some money. I'll pay from my salary as it comes. So I did that certification, long and short. I passed it on the first sitting. After that, I needed not to look for jobs. Jobs came to me when I resigned.
Did you know from the Lord that safety is your direction?
Yes.
So you knew it from the Lord?
Yes, from the Lord. The Lord now, told me to go that route.
All right. So the reason why I called him is because of Psalms 23 verse 1. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One of the currencies of prosperity is divine direction. He called me that he was in Rwanda. And he was going to train people. All right. He's been experiencing fresh air since he yielded to that direction that the Lord gave him. So this is just an example. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
So the question I need to ask now, do you know Jesus? Do you know him intimately? If you can still hear his voice, Jesus can give you direction. You are confused about what you need to do. Sometimes you don't need to do anything. What you need to do is to follow someone. God said, just follow this man. He will prosper. Follow him. Don't do anything. Just follow him. For some, their destinies are tied to following other people. For how will you know who to follow if you don't hear God? So we need to build ourselves to that point where we can hear God. Because it's one of the currencies of divine prosperity. I'll give you the second one, then I shut down. Malachi chapter 10, 3 verse 10. Malachi 3 verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. The Bible says that the direct effect, direct result of bringing your tithes, bringing your due to God, there are some things that are God's due. It's God's salary. It is God's entitlement. And we took a lot of time to speak about those things. I don't want to dabble into that. When you bring God's due to him, in response to the fact that you have decided to function by the understanding of the principle of honor, God says in return that he will open the windows of heaven. And I told you that there are three closely related metaphors. One is the door, two is the gate, three is the window. What does the door mean? Door. Well, I don't want to stress you. The doors mean opportunities. The gates mean authorities. And the windows mean blessings. So God says that when you bring his due, he is going to open the windows of heaven. I would like you to see the form in which blessings exist. He said, I'll pour you out a blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. So the question is this. Is there an amount of money that you are giving that you don't have a bank account to receive it? I'm asking. Those online. Is there an amount of money that you can be giving that you don't have a bank account to receive it? Okay, the answer is no. It means that the form in which these blessings exist are not in financial mode. So what we are talking about here is that blessings that are in form of ideas, and the room that is spoken about in that scripture is that your mind cannot fully contain it. So one of the ways that God brings us into prosperity is that he gives us inspired ideas. Inspired ideas. And when you translate those ideas to action, it holds a promise of prosperity. First is divine direction. Second is what? Inspired idea. And the room in this scripture is your mind. Your mind will not be able to handle these ideas when God begins to open it up. Yes, I know you are a doctor. I know you are an academic guru. I know you are a banking expert. Well, that's great, but you need ideas. When the ideas come, that is a currency in which your prosperity will be found. The Bible says that there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. I'm going to stop here, even though I've not finished. The next lecture we have, we'll be talking about warfare in the domain of the finances. It's a deep thing. You will need to be a good researcher to be able to trace the finger, where the finger of darkness is coming from. And Satan wants you incapacitated. He wants you broke. He wants you to be in perpetual poverty. So that the only power you have at your disposal is prayer. Hallelujah. But it is God's will to move us beyond that point. He wants to bring us to the point of actualization, where you are in the center of administering kingdom things, and your life is like a pivot that drives the agenda of God upon the face of the earth. Hallelujah. I can't hear your amen. I say hallelujah. Bring ye all the tithes, he says, into my storehouse. There might be meat in my house. Bring my due. And prove me now herewith, saith God, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will be room, not room enough to receive it. Oh my God. What if you knew what the cure for COVID was? What if you knew that a famine was coming to Ukraine? What if God gives you the grace to be able to preempt what will happen? He makes you a solution to a problem that has not yet come. Just like Noah building an ark, and there has been no rain, no threats whatsoever. But he's already laboring to establish a solution. That's how prophetic people operate. God will make some of us in this room strong before the end of the year. For there is a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understand. So it is not of him that willeth, it is not of him that runneth, it is of God that showeth mercy. So that we will realize that it's not by power, it is not by might, but it is by the Spirit of God. Anyone that is in true custody of divine prosperity runs back to God to give him glory, to give him praise. Because he knows that it was by the moving of the hand of God that he occasioned what is happening in his life. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. And that's what I want you to pray for tonight. Inspire my mind. Kevin, do you know there is a song that you can be inspired to sing and the whole world will sing it? How can you quantify the currency of that inspiration? For the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. I'm a preacher of the gospel, messenger of the kingdom. And when you are given an invitation to preach, and the subject and the theme, the topic is given to you, even though you are a scholar of the book, what you need the most is inspiration. Preaching timely words and accurate messages from the heart of God is a game of inspiration. And you will know easily a man that God has inspired and a man that is speaking from the volume of his study. There is a spirit in man. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understand. Can we pray tonight? Lord, inspire my mind. Inspire my mind. Inspire my mind. Inspire my mind. For there is a spirit in man. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. No one else can preach your sermon. No one else can sing your song. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. No one else can do the things that God has called you to do. Oh my. Inspire my mind. Inspire my mind. Inspire me today. I can hear you cry. The difference between a giant and a dwarf is inspiration. When God begins to speak into your spirit and it causes you to see beyond your context, to see from Zion, to see from his vista, then you are enlarged. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. You will remain small until you are inspired. The champions are men of inspiration. The high flyers that visit high places in Zion, they come back with a blessing called inspiration. So tonight, mount up with wings. We are going to the high places of Zion. That's where inspiration comes from. We mount up. We mount up. We mount up to the realms of glory, where we can hear the Lord's whispers and sing the song of angels. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Kusalamburaite. Ha ha! Yekombarakusetalima. Avaito combre helekis. Priskofatama kuria. Genicandelia. Brosketa baguna hanse. Entoberandele. Brakatala babonsame. The inspiration of the Almighty give them understanding.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.